got this in my life, and I got, I'm just here to tell you, oh, man, you don't know my situation, no, but I know the Savior. Yeah. And I know He's handled bigger and mightier than you. Hallelujah. I got to come down a notch or two where it preaches. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. When you find 1 Kings chapter 19, I want you to find Matthew chapter number 5. Hold your place in 1 Kings 19 and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Y'all doing all right this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all glad to say it? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you glad you have a father who can? Hallelujah. I can't pay my bills, but He can.
Amen.
I can't even get up in the morning and dress myself, but He can. Thanks be unto God. He's my father. Amen.
Amen.
Miss W said it. I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
It's one thing that He's my father, but it's another thing that who my father is.
Amen.
He's not just the King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 5 and then 1 Kings 19. How many of you have found both scriptures? Both scriptures. Say amen. Want everybody looking at a Bible. You ain't got a Bible? Scooch up next to somebody who does. Want everybody looking at the Word of God this morning. Simple thought, I plan to preach this tonight. I plan, in my mind, this would be a normal Sunday night kind of message. And as I got home last night, I was just drained physically, emotionally, and I began to think about the message, and I began to think about what I planned to preach this morning. And the Lord said, "No, you're gonna preach Sunday night, Sunday morning." Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sometimes we kind of preach to the church a little bit on Sunday night to our faithful crowd, and Sunday morning we kind of reserve to preach the gospel and see sinners saved. And the Holy Spirit will say, sometime at crowd on Sunday morning, they need what you're giving on Sunday night.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm not beating nobody up this morning. I wish you'd come back on Sunday night.
Yeah.
We have a good time. Our youth choir sing tonight. Man, I tell you, we'll have a spell. We'll have a good time.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not going to beat you up if you don't come, but I'm glad you're here this morning.
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 5, we've got probably, not probably, definitely, Brother Charles, the most famous sermon ever preached.
Amen.
If you were to ask somebody, Brother Bob, what's the most famous sermon ever preached? Somebody might say, "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God,"
yeah.
Jonathan Edwards. Somebody might say, "Payday Sunday" by Brother R.G. Lee. Somebody might say, "Fallen in the Valley" by Brother Lester Rowland. And they might mention sermon after sermon after sermon that was famous and that some man preached across the country and thousands were saved. And I'd say the most famous sermon that was ever preached was by the preacher himself, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here we are in Matthew chapter number 5 in the very, very beginning of that great sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount. I don't want to preach the whole thing. I did a whole series on this a few years ago, and it might not hurt to revisit it. But I want you to look at one verse in this Sermon on the Mount. I want you to listen to me real good this morning. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6. The Lord said, "Blessed are they." Stop right there and look up here.
Yes, sir.
Blessed are they. That word blessed is a strong word for happy. That word blessed means fulfilled, satisfied, in want of nothing. Content. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now watch the last part. For they shall be filled.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
Remember what I told you that word blessed means.
Amen.
Full, content, satisfied, wanting for nothing. I've got all I need. Last Tuesday night, our seniors group went over to Anniston, Alabama, and went to the top of the river, and they catfished Before you ever get catfish, they bring jalapeno cornbread.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there.
Yes, sir.
They bring jalapeno cornbread to the table and coleslaw and big old things of butter, and you sit there and get full as a tick before your meal ever come. Amen. Unless you're Brother John Cowell. And then the catfish comes. Y'all ain't with me. That's why I said, then the catfish comes. Hush puppies and onion rings and all that good stuff. And I sat down at that table and I didn't eat as much as Brother John. Of course, nobody did. Probably nobody ever will. He ain't a plant the size of that pulpit. And I sat there, Brother Philip, and I ate. After I got done with that cornbread and all that stuff, oh yeah, Kimberly got us fried pickles. Man, whoever invented, whoever thought about battering a pickle, nothing in
fried grease.
That right there is a genius, amen. Fried pickles wasn't enough. We ate Kimberly's fried pickles. I got the pickles off the table our neighbors left. I know how I did. They hadn't touched them, so they got up and left. I took them. Amen. I ate Kimberly's fried pickles and I ate their fried pickles. Then the catfish come. I'm already full. And I ate all that catfish. All the onion rings. Brother Charles, all the way home, the thought never entered my mind. I need something to eat. I never thought about it. Brother Chris laughs everywhere we go. I'll say, stop at the store. And him and Kate make a big joke about it because I can't hardly pass the store. I go in and get cones and crackers and something. I'm like, I got a tapeworm and I just had to keep feeding that thing. But all the way home from Anniston, Alabama, I never thought about stopping at a convenience store and getting a pack of crackers. Why? Because it looked like I was the one expecting. I don't know if y'all noticed that, but I have got a muffin top. It's finally happened. What I'm trying to tell you was that meal that I had, it filled me physically. And most of us in the house this morning, we are more concerned with being filled physically than we are with being filled spiritually. The thing about that meal in Anniston, Alabama, it was wonderful. I feel like we ought to run over there after church. But by Wednesday, it's time to eat something else, right?
That's right.
How many of y'all eat physically once a week? Once a week. That's all you eat is one time a week. Nobody. Nobody. But yet spiritually.
Yeah. You're right.
They come on Sunday morning, we sit down and say, okay, God, feed me.
Right.
You wonder why we struggle.
Yeah. Amen.
You wonder why we have such a hard time. It's because you've only had a meal once a week and you didn't eat half of what was given.
Yeah.
Amen. If any. Won't you look back at 1 Kings chapter number 19? He said, blessed are they that hunger. I'm going to tell you, if you want God this morning, He'll fill you.
Amen.
You'll get about as much of Him as you want.
Amen.
Are y'all all right this morning?
Amen.
1 Kings chapter number 19, you know the story. I'm just going to look at one verse right here, but I'll lead you up to it. The prophet Elijah, he goes to Mount Carmel and challenges the prophets of Baal. He said, y'all build y'all an altar and call on your God, and I'll call on my God, and God that answers by fire, we'll let Him be God.
Yeah.
Y'all know the story.
Yeah.
They call on their God for hours on the Amen. They thrashed themselves on the ground. They even tear down the altar. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And Elijah made fun of them and said, maybe you ought to holler a little bit louder. Maybe your God's asleep.
Right.
I mean, he mocked them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the man of God steps up and said, rebuild the altar, surround it, we'll dig a ditch and fill it full of water, pour water all over the altar. That's pretty confident. And then he prays this simple little prayer, and fire falls from heaven, consumes the altar, the offering, the water, and even burns the dust off the ground. And if that's not enough, he then, with his bare hand, kills 400 prophets of Baal.
Yeah, amen.
Somebody said that day Mount Carmel became a non-profit organization. Think about that, you get it. I would say after that meeting, my confidence level would be way up here. I've done some praying. I ain't never even smelled smoke. But here this man of God prays down fire from heaven.
Right.
Kills 400 devil worshippers with his bare hands.
Yeah.
But then he gets news in chapter 19. One chapter. One day.
Yes.
And the wicked queen Jezebel sends a message by this time tomorrow. You're going to be as one of them. In other words, I'm going to do to you, or have done to you, what you've done to my 400 devil worshipers. Does Elijah pray down another fire? Does Elijah rely on what God did yesterday? No, he gets scared. Aren't we much that way?
Right.
We've seen God move time and time and time and time again, but yet with each new trial comes new fear, comes new anxiety, comes new doubt. Somebody help me this man. You know God can, but yet you worry yourself sick.
Amen.
He worries himself to a point that he does not even want to live.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. The great fiery prayer downer. I don't know what else to call it. The prophet killer wants to die. He said, is it not enough? First Kings, that's for me, I don't care. Look at verse number 4. The Bible said that he himself, this is after he gets the news. Verse number 3, the Bible said he went for his life when he heard that she is coming after him. Verse number 4, he said he went a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under a juniper tree and requested, now he's talking to the Lord. He requested what? For himself, that he might look at it. Y'all looking at it? He might what? Die. I'd say it's pretty serious. And he said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than my fathers. And while he's laying there, he goes to sleep. I'm not going to talk much about depression this morning, but that's the first thing you want to do when you get really low. Just go to sleep and hope the world will go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
If you find yourself sleeping a whole lot, that's a good evidence. That's good evidence or a good a symptom. You may be approaching where Elijah is, or you may even be where he's at. The Bible said, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and say with him,
eat.
Eat. I don't want to live. I want to die. Take my life away from me. Hey, eat. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Brother Fred, here he is. He's at the lowest place of his life, and he's even praying for God to take his life, and God sends an angel and says, hey, Elijah, wake up.
Yeah.
Get a hold of yourself. He didn't say that. Remember what God did yesterday. He didn't say that. Go get some wise counsel. He didn't say that. Hey, he said, Elijah, eat. Never thought about it before. He didn't address his dilemma. He just said, eat. Verse number 6, the Bible said, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink. And he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and what?
Eat.
Twice. Seconds. It's a buffet. He did and took what was provided and he went right back to bed.
Yeah.
In other words, he didn't get enough. The angel came back again the second time and said, hey, Elijah, wake up. Eat. Twice. The angel, verse 7, came again the second time and touched and said, arise and eat. Now watch this. Because the journey is too great for thee. Wait a minute. He come here to what? Help me. For Elijah, this is the end.
Yeah.
But the angel comes and says, arise and eat. He eats, goes back to sleep. The angel comes back and says, arise, eat again. For the journey is too great for thee. The Bible said, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. Arise and eat. For the journey is too great. Arise and eat. What I'm trying to say is get what you need this morning.
Amen.
Elijah has no idea, Brother Todd, what's on tomorrow. He does not know about the brook Cherith. He does not know about the widow. He does not know about the lad. He does not know about the barrel. He does not know about the oil. He does not know any of these things that are coming in his future. All he knows is I want to die.
Lord.
None of us knows what tomorrow holds. Tell you, I know what I'm praying.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee the outcome. Those of you that have surgery, I know what I'm praying. And I can't guarantee the outcome. What I'm saying is we better get from God today, for the journey tomorrow may be too great for us.
That's right, preacher.
Hey, you ever drive by a funeral home and wonder what people do without God?
Yeah.
I hate funerals. I'm tired of them. We don't have one every now and then. They come in droves.
Yes, sir.
If I have to go to the funeral home, I just go ahead and keep my funeral Bible handy. Because I know I'm just get another one and probably another one. Oh, hey, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I pray my wife outlives me. My real prayer is that we go together in the rapture.
Yes,
yes. I thought about Brother Roscoe up in New York just a few years ago. I had to fly out and preach the funeral of his precious wife. And I sat there in that meeting this week, and then the Lord has given him a precious wife, and he's remarried. She's a wonderful lady. But I sat there looking at them thinking, Lord, I could not do that. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but there's things that I can imagine, and I would say to myself, like Elijah, I'd just rather die, because that journey is not a journey that I care to take, not a road that I care to walk down, but listen, with a provision and a portion from the Lord, hey, we can face what we think we cannot
face.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is if you don't eat this morning,
amen,
you may not get through tomorrow.
Amen.
There have been days, had it not been for God's provision, I had a nervous breakdown.
Amen.
Had it up to here.
Yeah.
It's more than I can stand. That's where Elijah was.
Yeah.
It's too much. Is that it? Lord God, I didn't mind praying over there. I didn't mind killing them prophets, but this, it's more than I'm handling. Let me tell you something. Listen, it doesn't take a whole lot to be more than we can help.
Right.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You may be in a situation that's grievous and look at somebody else that's falling apart in a situation that's to you is less than your situation. You wonder why they're worried.
Right.
If the roles were switched, you'd be just as worried as they are. Why? Because it's your situation.
Right.
It's your dilemma. It's your trial. It's your valley. Sometimes I'm amazed at how little it takes to get us down.
Yes, sir.
How little it takes to get us away from God. How little it takes, Brother Charles, to get us to doubt the mighty hand of our God. We get spiritually weak.
You're right.
You know when the devil preys on us? When we are weak. The Bible said he walketh about in 1 Peter chapter 5, Brother Charles, as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour.
Amen.
I don't know how many of you watch the History Channel or outdoor shows. I love them. I'd probably be all right if I was on the channel we had. That Cowboy Channel, I can handle. I'd be all right. I love to watch when they show the films about the Serengeti, the plains in Africa where all the wild animals are. We went to the zoo a couple of weeks ago and took Zoe and Mason and we went to the zoo in Atlanta. Man, I'm telling you, wasn't nobody there, hardly there but us. We had a great time. But we went to the lion cage. So the lion was like a pasture where they had them lions. And they had a viewing place down on the bottom. And when we first got there, the lions were laying Brother Chris up on the rock and one of them kept roaring. Man, that thing, it had jaws like an alligator. Man, it was that big. It was huge, and that thing would just, oh! You could hear it. We got off on the other end of the zoo looking at something else. You could still hear that lion roaring. But it sent cold chills up my back. And all I can think about is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, about that roaring lion. Then we got back down, and we come back by, and they were down by the glass where you could view them. And Mason stood there and we took his picture. If it were wire instead of glass, he could have felt that lion's breath on his neck. And I looked at how little Mason was. And I looked at that 700-pound cat standing behind me.
Yeah.
And I thought, Brother Charles, that baby is weak and that baby is vulnerable. All that lion would have to do, it'd be like eating a Skittle to us.
Yeah.
All that lion would have to do is just call.
Yeah. Amen.
He looks for the little.
Yeah.
He looks for the frail. You watch those shows and they don't go after the healthiest and the fastest gazelle. They go after the slowest. They go after the one that's got a broken leg. They go after the one that can't keep up with the herd. And that's the one they devour. Hey, I'm telling you, you may be weak in doubt. You may be down. You may be depressed. Hey, I'm telling you, that's where the devil will get you. And he'll convince you that your life is not worth living. Seems like every week we're hearing about a child, 12, 13, 14-year-old, taking their life. Somebody was telling me about a thing going around now. It's like a challenge. We're living in the stupidest generation I've ever seen in my life. A challenge. Who can eat a Tide Pod that you put in your wash machine to wash your clothes? Who can eat a Tide Pod and Leo? You know what? The devil's having a field day. Has anybody heard of that? That's the craziest thing I ever heard. I've had soap in my house, but not to buy my choice. The devil's having a field day.
Yeah. Right.
If he can convince a 14-year-old little girl
yeah.
who's overweight and being made fun of at school,
yeah.
that her life is not worth living. If he can direct her to a website that tells her how to take her precious life, if he can get her, he can get you. If he can find a daddy in his weakness and convince him that the lady at work is more attractive than the lady at home, and calls him to turn his back on his children and his bride, he can get you. He can convince a mom to walk away from her babies and tell her that life is better out there. Sit here this morning and say, boy, I don't know who's preaching to you. Me, all of us. The devil gets us weak, Brother Charles. He gets us down where we have no strength. I'm bad to go without Indians. And all of a sudden my head will just start pounding. Boom, boom. You know what it is? It's a symptom. I'll tell my wife, I had a headache. She's having you late. No. I'm going to sit down and eat and headache go away. Isn't that funny? I got to where I'll get dizzy. I'll go to sugar. I don't know what it is. I'll get dizzy. I'll go eat a little something. I'll be all right. Listen, you get down and you get so discouraged and you're ready to throw in the towel.
Yes.
You're hungry and you don't know it.
Yes.
Eat, Elijah. For the journey. It's too great for living. I don't know what's coming in our country, but we better get hungry and thirsty.
Amen.
We better get full of God.
Amen.
Or we're not going to make it. My goodness, I don't preach longer. I thought I got some things to tell you this morning. And I know you're on a tight schedule. You've got things far more important than the things of God. But I feel like I need to give you this morning. Listen to me carefully. A few things about this meal that the Lord provided for Elijah. Look at it with me this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Listen to me. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Verse number 5, the Bible said, and as he lay, are y'all looking at it, say amen.
Yes,
as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise at even. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a pool of water by his head. I want you to notice this morning, first of all, that this meal was not a normal meal. This meal was a supernatural meal.
That's right.
This meal was a meal, Brother Charles, that you could not go to McDonald's and get off the value menu. This was not a meal you could go and sit down in a restaurant and order. This was a meal delivered by the hand of God.
Amen.
There's something in this service this morning you need that you just can't go anywhere and get, and people are searching for it everywhere. They're looking at psychiatrists. They're listening to Oprah and Dr. Phil, and they're trying to find something to help them get through that journey that is ahead of them. And God says, I've got it prepared already.
Yes, ma'am.
If you don't arise and eat,
that's right.
It's a supernatural meal. A natural meal will only take you so far. We're trying to substitute. Even churches are, Brother John. They're substituting the things of God. They're substituting the Word of God.
That's right.
For something lesser.
Yep.
That's right.
I heard a guy on the radio the other day. They were interviewing him. He said, we don't even use any Bible anymore. Not just a bad version. We don't use nothing. I thought, what's the difference? The difference between you and a club?
Right.
Substitute. They're substituting psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Substituting. What they're trying to do? They're trying to fill up on something other than what God has provided.
Amen.
Do you remember when your kids were little? You put supper in. I grew up in a different world than these kids are growing. We didn't have a menu in my house. Mama didn't go through the house and go, what do you want? What do you want? What? It was cooked and put on the table and hooked, there it is.
That's right.
I like that. You learn to eat stuff you don't like.
Right. Amen.
This ain't what I come to church for this morning. It's what's being served.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are not Burger King. Have it your way. I'd like to say we're more like Wendy's, old fashioned hot and juicy. Amen. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset it. It upsets us. We're not in here taking orders this morning. Hey, bless God, don't take it wrong, but I'm giving the order. You don't have a problem taking the prescription from the doctor.
Good
if we don't take the supernatural food at the hand of God. By the way, the food that they brought him, Brother Charles. Here's a man ready to die at his weakest point. I'm thinking protein, vitamins, beta carotene, vitamin this and vitamin that. I'm thinking the boy needs some meat. I'm thinking the boy, he's pretty low, man. He's pretty weak, and he's got a great journey ahead. He needs a real vitamin. Bunch of vegetarian monkey one. Amen. I'm thinking you need some fried chicken, some mashed potatoes, some turnip greens. I'm thinking you need something that'll carry you for a catfish. Hallelujah. You know what the angel brings? Listen to me. Never thought about this before. Bread and water. Bread and water. You know what that's a picture of?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That's
amen.
Right.
Bread and water.
Amen.
Bread and water. Now, how's he going to draw strength from that? Because it ain't ordinary everyday bread and water.
That's right.
He did not bring him a Dasani and a loaf of sunbeam. He brought him bread from heaven and water from heaven. When we get the bread, hey, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Hey, when we get full of heaven's bread and we get a sip of heaven's water, Jesus said, I'll give you a well of water in you, springing up into everlasting life. It was a supernatural meal.
Amen.
I got a long way to go. I'm going to leave some of this out. It was a supernatural portion that the Lord delivered to him. But not only was it a supernatural portion, Brother Charles, it was a saving portion. A saving portion. That little cruise, that little pitcher of water, and that little cake, bacon on the coals. For Elijah was the difference between life. It was not just a supernatural portion, it was a saving portion. Well, how many of you believe that the morning or the night, whenever it was you got saved, if you hadn't got it in, you'd have died and went to heaven? There's a fruitcake that has become an internet sensation. And if they infiltrate this church, we will kick them on their backside out here in the middle of the road.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the interweb, people wouldn't even know who these idiots are.
Come on, preacher.
To be saved, you don't even have to have remorse for your sin. If he believes what he's preaching, Stephen Anderson, he ain't saved himself. He said, I'm going to check that guy out. Don't. Stay away from the poison.
Right.
You don't have to taste it to know it's bad.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Lord, take my life. Elijah doesn't know, Dylan, that there's still tomorrow. For Elijah, life is over. God said, not if you eat this.
Right.
God said, Elijah, all you can see is today. And today to you looks like life is over. This is the end. But Elijah, you can't see tomorrow. But I've got some ravens going to bring you some food. And I've got a widow woman that's going to cook you a meal. And I've got miracle after miracle. Elijah, you've got a big journey ahead of you.
Yes.
This meal was not just a supernatural meal or a supernatural portion, but in Elijah's life, it was a saving portion. There's some of you, I wouldn't preach this morning if I didn't care. There's some of you, I'm worried if you don't get it from God this morning, you're not going to know what that great journey for you is. That journey might be necessary for your joy, your fulfillment in your life.
Amen.
I wonder how many people will get to heaven and God will say, you missed it. You gave up too quick.
Amen.
You quit eating. We're living in a day of spiritual bulimia.
Yeah.
Is that the right word? You come to church and you hear it, but you regurgitate it as soon as you get out the door. Draw no nourishment from it, and no help is gained. It was a supernatural portion, Brother Charles. It was, some of y'all done cut me off. I know I'll quit in you. It was a saving portion, but I like this. I like this. Brother Freddie, it was a supernatural portion. It was a saving portion. Listen, it was a served portion.
Amen.
It was a served portion. Elijah didn't even ask for it.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The girl sang this morning, Brother Todd, he sets high and he looks low and he knows but about every step ago. I forgot what it said. But I'm trying to tell you, there's a God in heaven sitting down looking at his servant who prayed down fire yesterday, who's ready to die today. And God said, hey, cook me a cake. Get me a cruise of water. I can see Elijah. He hadn't asked for it. He doesn't know that he needs it, but take it to him.
Amen.
Woo! He served him. Elijah didn't lay down dead and under the tree and said, oh God, if you'll send me something for heaven, from heaven I'll live. God, if you'll send me something from heaven, I'll make it on this journey. But no. Just kill me. I want to die.
Yeah.
So God dispatched a servant.
Amen.
Can you imagine being special enough?
Yeah.
That God would say, hey, stop singing. Stop worshiping me for a minute. I've got a servant down there who's got a journey ahead of him. And I want you to go serve him. Well, Lord, what does he want? Doesn't matter what he wants. I know what he needs.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Amen.
I want you to take it to him. Amen. I want you to serve him.
Yes.
Too many preachers this morning are preaching what everybody wants.
Yeah.
I care less what you want.
Amen.
Care less what you want. I'm more concerned about what you need.
Amen.
Why? Because the journey is too great.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You ever stop and thought about how gracious God is?
Yeah.
How loving and caring He is? And He'd take time out of His schedule to come by Billerica, Georgia this morning and say, hey, I want to serve you what you need.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It was a supernatural portion. It was a saving portion. It was a served portion.
Amen.
He didn't have to go again. He didn't even go looking for it. God knew what he needed before he knew what he might need. And he just brought it to him. Served it up hot. Listen, I'm doing my best to do that this morning. I'm no angel. By far. Matter of fact, I think I'm a little step above the angels.
Yeah. Right.
You say that's arrogant. Jesus didn't die for every one of them.
Amen.
He died for me. I don't get to sing a song angels cannot sing. I'm not an angel with a halo or a wing on my back this morning, but I am the servant of God. I am the under shepherd of this flock, and I'm here to serve you what God desires for you to have this morning.
Amen, preacher.
It's a serve portion, but watch this. It was a strengthening portion.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It was a strengthening portion. He said, verse number eight. The Bible said he arose and did eat and drink. Watch this. And went in the strength of that meat.
Yeah.
40 days and 40 nights in the Herod, poor of the mountain.
Amen.
You ever had a meal last you 40 days?
Yeah.
Now, on my way home from Anniston last night, in my mind, I would have thought, I ain't eating for a month.
Yeah.
I was full up here. I can touch it. It was right there. I ain't lying. I thought, man, I won't never eat again. But it didn't last 40 days.
No.
Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong.
Yeah.
Man, we let God fill us with that spiritual food. You say, I don't know if I can go through what they're going through. You can if you let God teach you.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. You'll be surprised what you can do if you ever learn to rely on the Lord. It'll strengthen you.
Amen.
And there's days I get up spiritually, I'm weak as all.
Like,
people call me all the time, Brother, would you pray for me? And I'm like, how about you pray for me?
Yeah.
I ain't never said that, but I want to sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, they look to me, boy, you're the pastor and you're the leader and you're the great prayer warrior. Not today.
Yes.
I'm having one of them days where I don't know if I can pray for myself.
Amen.
It's okay to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want a preacher like that. You get one that won't admit it, he's a liar, and you never get one to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Stand up here and tell you I don't have bad days and weak days and days I want to quit and days I want to give up. But on those days when I look toward heaven, he never fails to come up with something fresh out of heaven's oven. Thank God it'll strengthen you.
Amen.
I've come to church so down.
Yeah. Yes.
And two precious girls get up and sing.
Yeah.
Amen.
On Sunday morning, I sat in that chair up there. I don't even now remember. That's just how the devil is. I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
But I was stressed. Oh, one of the Sundays I thought I'd think y'all would be better off if somebody else was your pastor. Worried, stressed out. They got up and sung for the very first time. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? For this very same Jesus is always near. And all of a sudden heaven opened up and glory filled my soul. I don't know where the stress went, where the depression went. I don't know where the worry went. But all of a sudden, instead of being full of that, I was full of something from somewhere else. And I found the strength.
Yeah.
That strength was in the meal that God was providing.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
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 A lot of times we don't even realize what He's prepared for us.
Amen.
Sit in church and play with your phone. Yes. I'm not talking about the children.
I'm trying.
Brother Randy, am I right? Don't be scared. Brother Randy says in that balcony running that sound, and he can say whatever one of y'all do right now. Don't bow your head. It's not time to pray. Here God is trying to feed you and sustain you because He knows the journey that's ahead of you.
Yeah.
Know about you this morning, I come to eat.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Jerry said, we're going to the top of the river and have fellowship. I said, y'all fellowship all y'all want. I'm eating.
Yeah.
You ever got a bunch of Baptists full of food and comes, you can't hear yourself think. For every two people, there's a conversation.
Yeah.
And if you've got 20 people, there's 10 conversations going on at the same time. Drives me out of my mind. I'm trying to hear what they're talking about, As soon as they set the catfish down, you can't hear nothing but I ain't come to fellowship, I come to eat. It was a strengthening portion. He gave him what he needed. It was a sustaining portion. It lasted. I'm glad he's got something. The man who raises, Brother Tobin, in fact, sing it too, that song. He'll carry you. When he ain't walked down the stairs.
Yeah.
Lastly, I'm going to quit right here. I got no fuss. It was a supernatural portion. It comes from God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a saved a person. It made a difference whether or not he lived or died.
That's right.
It was a served portion. He didn't have to go get it. It was brought to him. It was a strengthening portion, a sustaining portion. Lastly, and done, it was a secret portion. It was a secret portion. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I don't see anybody here at the table from Elijah. It's not Elijah the deacon, Lord.
Right.
That's right.
It's just the man of God.
Amen. Amen.
Here's what I'm trying to say, because he brought it to you.
Yes.
Amen. Woo. Amen.
He came to me. And I could not come where he was. He came.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you mean it wasn't for nobody else? No.
Right.
Just for us.
Yes.
You know what the Lord's doing this morning? He's bringing you just what you need. What Josh needs might not be what Danny needs. What Danny needs, sure, what Kevin needs. Ain't no way Danny can understand her fear.
That's right.
But he offers what she needs.
Amen.
Brother Jerry, as much as he loves his wife, he can't understand what she needs.
That's right. Nope.
It was a sacred portion.
Lord,
the Lord went as far, and I feel like he said, Elijah, this is just for you.
Amen. Yes.
I married this just for you.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Elijah, this is formulated. This is put together because it's just what you need.
Yeah.
I'm glad God in his infinite mercy and his knowledge and his grace. Brother Jack, he can come in here and he can give Eric what he needs.
Yes.
He can give Eric what he needs.
Amen.
He can give Daniel what he needs and Robert what he needs.
And he can give me what I need.
Amen. All in the same message.
Yeah.
Amen.
All in the same scripture and the same sermon.
That's right.
He meets in every individual need. I like this. Brother Todd, y'all come give us a song if you would. Listen. They brought the meal. The Bible said, and he did eat.
Amen. Right.
And you know what happened after he ate? The Bible said, and he arose.
Amen.
He didn't want to get up before he ate, did he? Matter of fact, the first time he fed him, he didn't even want to get up then. He went back to sleep. The Lord came again. That's why we have more than one verse of an invitation.
That's right.
And the Lord came again and said, arise and eat. After he ate that second time, the Bible said he arose and went. I don't know much about the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds.
Yeah.
I know who holds my
hand.
Let's stand our feet this morning.